It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, of course the show at Locked On Rockets, and as well as the blog at ClutchCityCR. A lot of news to get to today, a lot of stuff going on, both concerning the Rockets and just the NBA in general. So I'll start with the biggest news concerning the Rockets is that the Rockets are so close, right on the cusp of getting Jeff Hornacek signed as another assistant to Stephen Silas's staff, with John Lucas being the first first guy coming back, I should say, from Mike D'Antoni's tenure as the head coach. But Jeff Hornacek, one of the names that was originally linked to Stephen Silas as a potential assistant coach. And it seems, as per Mark Berman from Fox 26 Sports, it seems that they are on the cusp of getting that contract signed and making it officially official, which is so exciting. And I have a bunch of other news that I want to get to concerning the Rockets and the NBA, but I want to focus on this Hornacek signing really quickly because, look, it's a twofold thing. Hornacek is a guy who's had, you know, decades of NBA experience as a player, as a coach. But specifically, the thing that excites me the most about Hornacek, and it's a two-part thing. The first is, it's great to, again, surround Silas with guys that have experience, that have been there, have done that, have coached their own teams, you know, extensive experience. That way, he has this cast of guys that he can rely on and really lean on as a first-time head coach. So it's partly that, but it's also just Hornacek and what he's going to bring to this organization is... We're in this period where we're getting ready to see, I think, some of the most exciting Rockets offenses that we will have ever seen. Because, look, under Mike D'Antoni, it was great, but things were stagnant at times. Very little motion, very little off-ball movement, you know, not a whole lot of fluidity in the offense. It was very much just the James Harden show. And I think with Silas and now Hornacek added to the staff, we are adding two extremely competent offensive minds that are going to find unique ways to get either easier opportunities for Harden and Russ or easier opportunities for the other players. If you go back, and there's going to be plenty of Rockets old heads that remember this, Jeff Hornacek is one of the best off-ball players in history. I mean, he made his living on those Utah Jazz teams next to John Stockton, Karl Malone, being the third option, running off screens, moving off ball, and getting the easiest looks of his career. Obviously because of Stockton and Malone, but legitimately, it takes a certain type of player, a certain skill set. Think J.J. Redick, right? That's essentially, you know, J.J. Redick on steroids. And so him bringing that to the table as, you know, as an offensive motion-based offensive type guy is going to be so helpful. And it's not necessarily like, oh, is James Harden going to start suddenly running off screens and everything and turn into Steph Curry? No, it's much less that. And more just when you have two guys that have the gravity that they do in James Harden and Russell Westbrook, it's the other guys that are going to be able to benefit from a system that gets them even more wide open shots. Ben McLemore, Eric Gordon, Daniel House, Robert Covington. Imagining those guys maybe moving around a little bit, running off of a screen or two, and then stepping into an open three rather than just standing, you know, isolated on the three-point line. Think about the Lakers series. Think about how hard it was for the Rockets to generate open threes because, for the most part, the offense was just everybody standing around the three-point line, and the Lakers weren't conceding to the gravity of James or Russ, which allowed them the opportunities to be able to close out on three-point shooters effectively. Now, if there's motion involved in the offense, if there's more pieces that you have to keep track of, potentially guys diving towards the basket, cutting towards the rim, guys flashing out to the three-point line, back screens being set, all sorts of motion happening to generate these wide-open looks, it's a lot harder to key in on stopping those three-point attempts from being taken if you're actually having to move around as a defense and keep track of switches and screens and, you know, everything going on, as well as trying to hone your defense in to stopping James Harden and Russell Westbrook. So I'm excited about the Hornacek signing, or close to signing, I should say. It's reported, so it's basically almost a done deal, probably. And in light of the Nate McMillan situation and that he signed with Atlanta, it's nice to be able to get one of those two big names signed to Steven Silas' staff. We've also got Irv Roland, who Ben DuBose and I actually discussed a little bit. James Harden's former kind of developmental coach, personal trainer in a way. Irv Roland, you know, has expressed interest via Twitter about rejoining the franchise now that the head of player development position is open, with John Lucas being promoted to the assistant coaching role. So there's a possibility for Irv Roland to come back into the fold of the Houston Rockets franchise. Another big one that we've kind of speculated on a little bit to this point, but Austin Rivers said in a podcast with a Ringer podcast, Real Ones, he basically said that he's planning on opting out of his contract, which pushed, you know, basically we kind of knew this was going to happen, kind of writing on the wall type situation. Austin already took a pay cut to re-up with Houston last summer, and so it makes sense that he's going to opt out and look for either more money on the open market or maybe just a bigger role elsewhere, because the fact of the matter is, with two guards ahead of him in the lineup in James Harden and Russell Westbrook, as well as Eric Gordon ahead of him on the depth chart, and then lastly, Ben McLemore, who provides, you know, in my opinion, and more than likely Steven Silas's opinion, hopefully, fingers crossed, a better skill set that is more complementary to the other three guards in Houston's rotation than Austin's skill set. I think he kind of sees the writing on the wall and that he's the odd man out, the fifth guard in the depth chart for this Houston Rockets team. And frankly, he's just, for his skill set, you know, he's a plus defender. He's got decent ball handling, decent playmaking, and it was great having him here, but it's no skin off my nose if he wants to leave Houston. I think the depth is just fine. There's not, you know, I wish Austin the best having him here, some great memories with Austin Rivers, but if he opts out and goes elsewhere, I can't blame him for wanting a bigger role, for maybe wanting, a direct backup point guard position or potentially even a starting guard position somewhere. But that's just kind of some news there. Austin, you know, confirming that he's going to opt out. And the biggest news, broken by Shams Charania of The Athletic, is that NBA free agency will begin November 20th. So we are just 10 short days away from NBA free agency and the madhouse that will begin Friday, November 20th at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So 5 p.m. Central is when free agency hell will break loose. Now, there is still going to be a two-day moratorium on signing. So just like there's the week-long July moratorium usually, there's still going to be a two-day moratorium on any signing. But all the confirmations, all the Shams tweets, the Woj bombs, all that stuff will be dropping Friday evening. So make sure that whatever you're doing that Friday, make sure that you are able to be on your phone or on your computer, your laptop, whatever, to be smashing that F5 key so that you can catch all the news as it's dropping, because that is going to be free agency crammed into such a small period of time. It's going to be absolutely bonkers. And obviously, we'll have you up to date with all the signings, anything that breaks, any kind of news right here at Locked On Rockets. But that's the biggest one. It's going to be a crazy, exciting offseason. It still remains to be seen what moves the Rockets have up their sleeves, what direction Rafael Stone, new GM for the Rockets, and Steven Silas want to go, who they're targeting. We'll have some names. We're going to be doing, hopefully here, a free agency preview with a special guest. I'm not going to drop his name just yet because we're still working on getting things scheduled, but hopefully in the next day or two, we'll have a special free agency episode, drop some names in there, some potential targets that the Rockets should be looking at. So hopefully that'll be really fun. But what I want to do for the rest of this episode is, there is another name that I want to talk about, and that's Jayshon Tate, who has been linked to the Houston Rockets. The Rockets have significant interest in him. He's a guy playing for the Sydney Kings out of Ohio State. And I want to talk about him in the third segment. But first thing I want to do is I want to run back the audio from Steven Silas and his First Take interview for any of those, for any of you that might have missed that, when he was on First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. So I'm gonna run that back coming up in just a moment, and then we'll talk about it in the third segment as well as Jay Sean Tate. But first, I've got a quick message from our friends over at Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every single day. Look, Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. They come in these little easy-to-take-with-you 1.5-ounce packages. You can keep it in your pocket throughout the day. You toss it in your golf bag to get through the back nine, or you even put it in your briefcase to get you through a day at work. It's basically 5-hour energy without that same crashing feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's way better for your body. They come in these 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. I'm really partial to the peanut butter honey one. I mean, it's basically like having a monster with just a third of the caffeine and significantly better results. And you can check it out. Just go to builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you'd like to call into the show, 713-487-5457. Call in, drop me a spicy take, drop a suggestion for the show. If there's a topic you want to talk about, drop it in. Maybe there's somebody that you want on the show. Maybe there's a special guest that you'd like me to reach out to and see about trying to pull on the show. Absolutely go for it. If you say try and get James Harden on the show, I might have to block you, okay? That's not going to happen. I would love to have Harden on the show, but it's really hard to get players on the show, so be slightly realistic with that. Maybe there's another media person out there or another blogger, podcaster that you'd really like to hear from here on Locked On Rockets. That one is a bit more doable, so keep it within reasonable expectations, I suppose. But as promised, let's go ahead and jump straight into the Steven Silas segment from First Take right now.
Coach, I can't even put into words how happy I am for you to be an assistant coach in the NBA for 20 years. I haven't, you know, obviously it was a long time since I've seen your dad, but, you know, I'm very familiar with you and the job that you've done over the last 20 years as an assistant. Congratulations to you. I want to know, what was it about this job that you liked so much? We say James Harden, we say Russell Westbrook, but there's so many questions about them. I'm told both of them signed off on you, and obviously ownership obviously believes in you a lot. Talk to me about what was attractive for you in regards to this job.
Well, there's so much. I mean, it starts with ownership, and Tillman Fertitta has a plan and believes in me and is not afraid to spend, which is amazing. And as you've alluded to in previous interviews, that, you know, you need an owner that believes in you, especially as a young African-American coach, and that's just facts. And that really shows what kind of guy he is and what kind of management that we have here. Rafael Stone is the new GM, and I enjoy talking to him, and we clicked right away. And a lot of the things that I believe as far as how basketball should be played that I've learned from my dad and Don Nelson and Rick Carlisle over the years are a lot of the things that they are interested in here as well. And then, as you alluded to have two of the best players in the NBA, 2 MVPs, 2 future Hall of Famers, and the ability to win it and win it all, where I don't have to be in a rebuilding situation. This is the ideal job for me after working for so long and so hard to get to this point, to be with this organization. It's a perfect fit.
Coach, congratulations on the job, and you inherited a good roster, and a roster that seemed like when they traded Capella, I'm like, what are they? They must get a center. No, they went what they call micro ball, right? So Westbrook stopped shooting so much, he penetrates and either kicks or finishes, and he's where you get the paint play, and it's a new, like, the next level of what we're seeing in the NBA. So I wonder, what changes? Are you continuing with that lineup as the kind of basis of the offense, or are you making changes to that concept?
Well, it's really based on how Rafael and I, and mostly Rafael, puts the roster together. You know, the small ball is very much a product of the roster that they had. Obviously, I want to have multiple ways of playing. I think to have playoff success, you have to have multiple ways of playing on both ends of the floor. So having a traditional center would be good for me, so I would be able to play small like they've done in the past and like I did 15 years ago when I worked for Don Nelson, and then play big with a rolling center and someone playing in the dunker, and the matchups would be a little bit better for our group, and then the defense and the rebounding would be a little bit better as well. So my goal is to have multiple ways of playing on both ends of the floor, and Rafael's looking to put together a roster so I can do so.
I can imagine your answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Obviously, Mike D'Antoni, incredibly innovative offensively. The man is brilliant on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, I won't get into that. I'm trying to be nice today. But in the end, but in the end, what it comes down to is this. People look at the team that he's coached over the last several years, recognizing him as a pretty damn good coach. But in the end, you look at Russell. You look at James Harden, you look at a team that's built to be successful in the regular season, not necessarily the postseason. Specifically, if you can speak to it, how would you modify things compared to what we've seen from the Houston Rockets over the last 4 or 5 years? What would you do to have them better prepared for a postseason run?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And you use the regular season to prepare for the playoffs, right? So if you have multiple ways of playing, if you have the ability to play bigger or play smaller, now when you get to the playoffs, you have multiple tools in your toolbox to go to. There won't be quite as many isolations as we've seen in the past. Those guys have had to work so hard to get to their greatness and get to what makes them really successful. But in the playoffs, you see it stalls because there aren't really third, fourth option to go to. So from my point of view, optionality is going to be everything, and getting a little bit more ball movement, getting a little bit more player movement, letting those guys play on the move a little bit more so they won't see quite as many double teams. And then as the playoffs come, we can go to that stuff to where it won't be quite as predictable, especially in a 5-7 game series where you're trying to deal with someone who's preparing and sees you game after game after game. You have to have something else to go to, and that's what I'm planning to do.
Coach, the philosophy under Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni was, I don't think the Rockets ever had the best guys in terms of converting all these things, but they placed the most good bets. Threes, paint, free throws. We're just going to do that because those are the best bets you can make, and we're going to keep doing that. And we've seen, as you said, in the playoffs, like a guy like Rondo succeed because he's like a coach on the floor, and that's really coach's time, the playoff plays out of timeouts, and who understands it the best. So does this, what you're talking about, empower James Harden and Russell Westbrook in certain ways, you think, more than they were empowered in the past?
I would give them more ownership and optionality to be able to do different things on the floor, but for me to come in here and expect for the team that's the sixth best offensive team in the NBA to change go away from the things that were successful doesn't make any sense to me. So those guys are going to be doing very much, they're going to be playing very much in a similar way, but with some tweaks and some adjustments to make it a little bit easier for them.
So that was Stephen Silas, new head coach of the Houston Rockets, on First Take Friday with Screamin' A. Smith and Max Kellerman. So as promised, coming up in just one moment, we're going to discuss some of the points that he hit on, as well as talking about Jayshon Tate, and we'll get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. To stay up to date with the show, be sure to follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, as well as the show at Locked On Rockets if you don't already do so. Now, we're going to talk Silas first and some of his comments to Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. And the first thing that stands out to me, both from his press conference, his introductory press conference alongside Rafael Stone and Tad Brown, and now this interview from Friday with Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, is that he talks so much about versatility and different looks and making life easier for James Harden and Russell Westbrook. And that's something that I've trumpeted here on this show. Can't count how many times that I've said the phrase, just talking about how great James Harden is, that he is able to still beat double teams, that he's able to have defenses that are game planned specifically just for him, more so than any other player in the NBA, defenses game plan for him differently, trapping him at half court, all sorts of creative schemes, playing defense from behind him, shout out Ricky Rubio, but legitimately, the fact that he's able to, you know, go up against so many different schemes and still come out on top most of the time is a testament to his greatness. And like Silas identified when discussing this on First Take, in the playoffs, defenses get more difficult. They're able to key in more on what you're trying to do. So Harden's, you know, historic performances and the way that the Rockets have played under Mike D'Antoni for the last 4 years tends to work in the regular season, but there's a drop-off in the playoffs when the intensity of the competition takes a step up, when the quality of your opponent takes a step up, when you're facing the better defensive teams in the league. And we saw that very much on display against the Lakers. The Rockets came out, had a really strong game one, could not make the necessary adjustments throughout the course of the series to put themselves in a position to win games. So thinking about James Harden and Russ and how to best maximize them and get the most out of them, hearing Silas talking about using different looks, getting them in different positions, getting them looks before defenses are able to trap them, that kind of thing, talking about the utilization of a traditional center. I think we're absolutely going to see a traditional center brought back into the fold in some capacity on this Rockets roster. Now, whether that's a Nerlens Noel type, whether that's another kind of buy low type candidate, maybe a Chris Boucher type, somebody who can absorb 15 to 20 minutes a night and be that kind of dollar store Clint Capella type player to help fill that gap for, you know, again, 15, 20, 25 minutes a night and help hold down the five spot next to PJ Tucker, that's going to be interesting. And the fact that he's already vocalizing these things, the fact that Silas is already talking about these things, shows me that he's already thinking about it, which means he's already communicating some of his wants and needs and desires to Rafael Stone, which means he's going to be on top of it. And so we're going to know in just 10 short days what direction this franchise is going. We're going to know very soon who's going to be re-signed. I really want to see Jeff Green back. I want to see Gerald Green get re-signed because he's a great wing presence to have. And this other guy who we're going to talk about a little bit, Jayshon Tate. I think he's a really interesting name. And after looking at some highlight clips, kind of just watching, you know, probably about 30 minutes of footage just to try and get a feel for how he plays and what he brings to the court. First off, the man is a bulldozer, okay? Plays for the Sydney Kings out of Ohio State and reported that the Rockets are heavily interested in acquiring his services for this upcoming season. He's a 6'4", 230-pound, think almost Lou Dort-esque, right? The way that this kid is built. He's 25 years old, and he's got a really interesting offensive package. So he's a lefty, too, which is interesting. So he's a southpaw, just like James Harden. And he, from all the clips that I was able to watch, from the highlights that I was able to see, he's got a decent three-point shot. He's got good body control, surprisingly good handles, like watching him actually kind of break down defenders off the dribble. And that's something that I know that is completely alien to Rockets fandom and Rockets fans everywhere thinking about a wing player with any type of adequate handle on the basketball. But he actually has, you know, some spin moves. He's able to drive to the basket and get kind of creative. But his body control is something that really kind of caught me off guard when I was watching his highlight footage. His ability to basically finish around the rim through contact. I mean, again, the guy is 6'4", but he's 230 pounds of, like, just muscle. And the way that he's able to elevate and kind of explode and use his body to either A, bump off other defenders, kind of similar to like what Eric Gordon does, but in a more athletic sense, because this guy's able to elevate. And I mean, he has a fair share of dunks in his highlight reel. So he attacks the rim aggressively. He's able to run in transition. I am a little concerned about his three-point shooting, and that's because in the National Basketball League, the Australian Basketball League, the NBL, the three-point line is about a foot and, like, 8 inches shorter than the NBA three-point line. So there's a little bit of concern there that, you know, does he actually have NBA three-point range? Now, from in some of his highlights that I watched, he does shoot the ball from, you know, a few steps further out than the NBA three-point line, and even the announcers make some commentary by saying that was like NBA range or whatever. So maybe it's not as much of a concern, or I shouldn't be as concerned about it. But he's interesting. He's an interesting guy because, again, this Rockets system, if they're predicated on wanting to continue the ability to switch things, you know, 1 through 5, or not necessarily 1 through 5, but just having guys who can defend, you know, 3 and 4 different positions comfortably, this guy fits that mold. He has the body control to do it. He's got the speed, the athleticism, you know, the defensive IQ. He, you know, was able to get kind of some of the highlights watching him kind of reading passing lanes, you know, being in the right spot at the right time, reading opposing offenses, and being where he needs to be, quick hands, that kind of thing. I'm a little high on him right now. Like, after kind of, you know, indoctrinating myself, I kind of buy into the hype a little bit. And there's that connection where right now Will Weaver, the you know, head coach of the Sydney Kings, so the head coach of Jayshon Tate, he is currently interviewing, or has interviewed, I apologize, for one of the assistant coaching positions for the Rockets, as well as he's currently being interviewed by the Oklahoma City Thunder for their head coaching vacancy. So there's a possible tie there. If the Rockets are able to land Will Weaver as an assistant coach, then that kind of incentivizes Jayshon Tate to kind of make that leap and come back over to the States and play in the NBA. Now, and I'll have to re-up on this to clarify, but I do believe that because if he were to come over as a foreign player, technically, or from a foreign league, I think the Rockets would be able to sign him for a significantly cheaper contract or something to that effect. I remember reading something about that, but it wasn't in a lot of detail that I got into it. I was more just focused on learning more about him as a player at the time rather than the logistics of what it would look like to get him here. And I imagine that there's going to be other teams that are interested in acquiring his services. So that Will Weaver element, if the Rockets are able to snag him as an assistant coach for Silas's staff, that connection makes that link even stronger, because this would be a guy that you have on the wing along PJ Tucker, Robert Covington, Daniel House, David Nwaba, and then you'd be able to kind of back up those four guys with Jayshon Tate. And again, I know he's 6'4", and that number, you know, that height number kind of makes people think, oh, he's just, you know, another Eric Gordon. He's going to be giving up size. The guy plays a lot bigger than his listed height. Like, think about guys that play bigger than their listed height. Think Draymond Green, right? Green is listed at 6'5". And Green plays like he's a legit, like, 6'10", 7-footer sometimes, you know, bodying guys much bigger than him with just better control of his body, leveraging himself, you know, defensive IQ, all that good stuff. Everything that he utilizes to be able to get the most out of his matchups, even though Green is, for all intents and purposes, an undersized player at his position, whether he's a 4 or a 5, Draymond Green is undersized. So Jayshon Tate, kind of in that same mold. And just watching him play, he plays a lot bigger. He plays above the rim. He's got that athleticism element that is kind of missing from some of the Rockets' forwards. Daniel House brings some much-needed athleticism to this team. The acquisition of Russell Westbrook brought some much-needed athleticism to this Rockets team. And Jayshon Tate would be another guy that you bring in that actually has some ups, right? Can get above the rim and you know, maybe even potentially be a lob threat. There were a few of the highlight clips where he's, you know, asking his teammates for lobs up towards the rim. So, you know, with a body like that, 230 pounds, that's a guy who can maybe be a threat to not only pick and pop for James Harden, but a guy who could be a threat to set a really strong hard body screen and then roll hard to the rim and potentially be a guy who can finish around the cup because he's got that body control. He's able to brush off defenders using his size, those big shoulders, and really bump people off to get clear lanes towards the basket. So I'm excited about this. I want to see where the Rockets go, and hopefully they're able to pursue him and actually bring him in because he adds some youth, too. That's the last element that I think is so important. You know, 25 years old, the Rockets are the oldest team in the NBA. And so adding some much-needed youth to this roster would be an absolute bonus if they're able to do it. So I think that's where we're going to kind of wrap things up for today, hit on a lot of different topics, a lot of different news. We're going to be breaking down some of these other topics a little bit further in the coming days. Like I said, we'll do hopefully a deep dive on free agency and take a look at some potential targets for the Rockets, especially with free agency right around the corner. But for today's episode, that's going to be where we wrap things up. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.